Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
The title of the message this morning is Breakthrough. And we're going to be talking about breakthrough. There is a secret to breakthrough. How many are excited about breakthrough? How many of you love to breakthrough things? There's a secret about breakthrough that is not going to be a secret very long because I'm about to tell you. And it's going to be exciting, and I love it, and I'm excited about God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 through 11 say this. Now, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for him. I love that. As soon as they realize Israel has a new king, they go out to test. They go out to war. It says, when David heard of it, he went out against them. And when the Philistines went, and they made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim in Scripture always refers to giants. And so the valley of the giants is what this is talking about. It says this, and David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal Perazim. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Baal Perazim a little bit later. And it says, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a command, and they were burned with fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is good. Your word is true. And your word is unchanging. I thank you, Father, that it's living. That Jesus said, as we read it, we gain life. We gain wisdom. God, we gain knowledge of who you are and of the secrets that are there. And so we just ask that you teach us. We thank you for your presence that has been with us so far, God. And I ask that it has prepared the soil of our hearts for the truth of your word today. Let it settle in us. Let the roots go down deep so that we might rise up and be strong. I thank you for it, God, in your name. Amen. The last time that we were together last week, we talked about giving thanks and how we need to be people who are thankful people. We don't think in terms of thanks anymore. I mean, we think in terms of blessing. We think in terms of a lot of different things, but we still need to be people who are truly thankful for what we have and what God has done and what God is going to do. And I said that giving thanks is a big part of expressing our love to God. That's what we've been talking about, is love expressed. That all of us, in some way, shape, or form, need to be people who express our love to Jesus Christ. And I said last week that if you're at a place that you want in your life to go further with Jesus, to go deeper in Jesus, to grow in Him this year, expressing your love is one of the ways that will take you to a new level spiritually. Got two people who got that. Y'all were here last Sunday? All right. Expressing your love will take you to a new level spiritually, because love not expressed is a love that's not felt. It does not bring change. It does not bring healing. It is a love that dies inside, that never becomes having brought its full impact. And we're not about love lost here. We're about love found. So we need to express it, okay? And we talked about the lepers. There were 10 that were healed as they went, the Word of God says. As they went to the priests, they were healed of leprosy, and how they came back. In Luke 17, 15 and 16, and one of them says that when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, this man was grateful to Jesus for what he had done in his life, and that gratitude was in his heart, and the gratitude came out in the experience of worship, and how we will be people who worship him in spirit and in truth. We will be people who express our love to God when we have hearts that are full of gratitude. A lot of people just aren't grateful. We tend to focus on what we don't have versus what we do have. We tend to focus on what we want next instead of what we have been blessed with and given by God. And we need to truly be thankful. When we have gratitude, we're going to have worship, because that's the way it works and that's the way it functions. So I'm not trying to get everybody to worship the same way at the same time, but I do say this. We as people of God need to express our love and to him in worship. We need to do this. Well, Pastor, I'm not comfortable. That's fine. So you watch the Super Bowl like this. Or you watched American Idol like this. Come on. We've got to express. We always are expressing. We're always expressing. We need to express to the one who has loved us more than anyone and has given to us more than anyone. And that needs to flow from gratitude that is in our heart. And I share with you that I think a lot of the times the reason why we don't express our worship is that a lot of people grew up in very dysfunctional homes. And we grew up in homes that didn't express affection one to another. You know, you say, oh, my dad never hugged me. My dad never told me he loved me. And you know, I just, you know, if I could have saved someone from a burning building, they would have went, you got to wash your clothes now. They smell like smoke. You know, I mean, just nothing I did ever was good. And we just kind of, what they provided, there was food and clothes and education, and that was all good. But I just never really came from a home where someone said, hey, I love you. I think you're fantastic. And so we kind of grow up thinking that's the way we express our love to God. Well, God just knows I love him. I don't really have to say it. He's God, right? Well, here's the thing. You're in a new family now. You've been adopted into his family, and his family expresses love. And God is always showing us ways he loves us. God is always telling us that he loves us. And if you spend any time in the Word, you can't help but see his love in action expressed towards you. I told you are his greatest desire of all the things in the world. What he longs for the most is you, and that's what we find in this leper. This leper expressed his worship because of gratitude that was in his heart. Well, what's produced the gratitude? Well, Luke 17 says that it was a miracle. This man had leprosy. It was a disease that honestly, when you got it, your life was over. It was done. You couldn't be close to anybody. You couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't be near anybody. In fact, if you were on the street, someone was coming your way, and they were getting too close, you had to shout out to them, unclean, unclean. And all of us would have had to say that at some time or another in our lives. We were lost in sin. We were bound by sin. We were dirtied by sin. We were unclean because of the presence of sin in this world and the sin in our lives and our hearts and our minds and things. And we would have had to shout unclean, but Jesus came by. Because he came by, he saved us. He's changed that. And so he did a miracle in our hearts. And so miracles produce gratitude that produce worship expressed. Well, then what produces miracles? Well, obedience does. It's what we talked about. As they went, they were cleaned. They were healed. See, the miracle is God's part. Obedience is our part. And all through Scripture, you see that when people obeyed God, things happened. Seas were parted. Rivers were crossed. Enemies were defeated. Miracles were experienced. And Jesus, he's in this whole stretch of the chapter teaching the disciples about obedience. And he starts off talking about forgiveness. And I don't know if y'all love that. Man, I love that. I learned so much last week preparing for it and getting ready for it. But he's talking about forgiveness. And he says, if somebody comes and wrongs you, I want you to forgive them. And the disciples say, oh, yeah, we can do that. That's awesome. And Jesus says, no, but I'm not done. If someone comes to you and does the same thing 7 times in the same day, I want you to forgive them then too. And the disciples kind of huddle up. They come back and say, Lord, we increase our faith. Have y'all gone back? Have y'all read that chapter that we talked about last week? Can't you see the difference in tone in what Jesus is talking? He goes from teaching and says, oh, increase our faith. And you can almost see Jesus kind of go, you listen to me, you bunch of knuckleheads. Obedience is not about your faith. Lord, give me more faith. It has nothing to do. Your obedience is about you following his word. Forgiveness is about your obedience. That's what it is. I don't feel. I didn't ask how you felt. Jesus says, why do you keep bringing your feelings into this, your emotions? The right thing is the right thing no matter how you feel about it. And that's what he's saying, man. He's challenging his disciples. He said, listen, the way you feel about obedience doesn't change what obedience is. And then he turns around and he shows these disciples the power of obedience with the story of the 10 lepers who say, hey, help us. We've got leprosy. And he says, go cleanse yourself. And they obeyed. And as they went, they were healed. That's the power of obedience in the life of a believer. that when we obey God, that we are going to see miracles. And when we see miracles, it is going to create gratitude in our heart. And when we are grateful people, we are going to worship Him and express our love to Him, because it is a natural process. So if you're here today and you say, oh, I just have a hard time worshiping sometimes, are you a grateful person? Well, yeah. Well, you may need to stop and think. Let God have His way in you. Let God have His way in your life, okay? Change lives, our lives change in obedience. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about breakthrough. And one of the things that I love about the body of Christ is all of us are different. I mean, take a minute and look around. There's a lot of churches that you look around and everybody's going to look like you. I'm serious. We live in a world that is so diverse, and yet there's still a lot of places you don't see diversity in churches. And I love the fact that my family, my kids, can come to a church and we celebrate with the body of Christ from around the world. That some are tall and some are short, and I saw a quote the other day, I need to send it to Brooke, and I said, you know, God made things perfectly, and some people just didn't take as long, you know? And you encourage her where you can. She's watching? Oh, man. Hi, Brookie. If you were here, I would give you a hug. No, stop. Come on. Come on. Stop it. Stop it. Seriously. Seriously. Y'all are going to get me in trouble. But we all have different backgrounds. I don't know if y'all know this about our church, but about 25, every time we do our real life class, which is our membership process, every time we do it, we ask folks, what's your background? And there's about 25% of our church that comes from a Pentecostal background. They just born AG or born into a Pentecostal type church and have been in that their whole life, about 25%. There's about 25% of our church that's mainline denomination, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, something like that. I went to other churches and I find myself here. There's something here I just love. Then there's about 25% of our church used to be Catholic, that have come out of the Catholic faith into our church. And there's about 25% of our church that really have no church background. And y'all are my favorite. You are. I'm just telling you, I love you, man. I just say, open your Bible to Matthew. Who's Matthew? You know, and I love it. I do. I just love it. And so we are all different kinds of people of all different backgrounds and all different cultures that come together. And when you get people of that many things, worship may sound different and look different to all of us. I mean, you get someone that comes from a church that tends to be very quiet and very reserved and you know, where we just kind of come in, you sing the song. You know, and someone who's from Pentecost or Church of God or something like this, and man, they're expressive in what they do, and you know, you get somebody, and I mean, that's revival, man. They lift their hands. That's a big deal. That's why I say we don't all have to look the same. We don't all have to act the same, but we all need to express our love to God. And even though we're all different, we have all different backgrounds, and we come from different places and different thoughts about things, God has called us all to the same thing. We are all called to be like Him. Amen? Y'all understand that? He doesn't just call you to go to church. He calls you to be the church. And it's important that we understand this. And so in all of our lives, we know that there's an enemy who is not for us. We know that there's an enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to hinder us and he wants to keep us. And so every person in this room this morning has an area of their life that they need to break through in. All of us. You say, well, my life's doing okay. No, you are wrong. There is always an area that we need to break through in. Every person here, from me down or up, wherever you establish the line, right? So all of us have areas that we need to break through. And the thing that I want to say is this. God speaks to all of us. God also speaks to each of us. All right? I want you to get that. God speaks to all of us, but He also speaks to each of us. And towards the end, I really feel like God has given me something I'm to give you. You can take it as prophetic. You can take it as just something that the pea was rolling around and this came out, whatever. But I really believe that it is a promise of God to you as a church and as individuals today. But we're all called to the same things, and we all have areas in our lives that we're looking for breakthrough. And this week we're going to be talking about the secret to breakthrough. And the thing is this, it's not just any specific area. It is every area. If you need a breakthrough in your marriage, if you need a breakthrough in your finances, you need a breakthrough in your relationships, your friendships, your family, your health, your career, it really doesn't matter what the breakthrough is needed in. These are the steps to obtain it. These are the steps to get it. Because wherever you need a breakthrough, there is a very simple process in Scripture, and we see it over and over and over and over and over again that I want to share with you this morning, and it involves two things. And the first thing is this. We need to be people who pray and seek the face of God. Listen, you've got to be someone who seeks the face of God. There is nothing wrong. I'm a huge believer that when there are things that are hitting my life, there are a couple of folks that I will reach out to that and y'all need to hear this with a grain of salt, that I know that pray. Not say they'll pray. Can we have church today? They don't just say they'll pray. I know they pray. And there are people who I will call, or I will email, or I will text, or I will show up at your house and knock on your door until you answer, and I will say, will you pray for me? We have got to be people who pray. And while it is wonderful to have people to go to pray for you, that does not eliminate you from praying yourself. Okay? You've got to understand, we have to be people who pray. Our text says this. Now, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And when David heard of it, he went out against them. And when the Philistines went, they made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David, verse 10, you can underline this. David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? David asked, God, what do you want me to do? He prayed. He sought him. And God responded to him. And so they went up. I will deliver them into your hands, he says. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through mine enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. I love that. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. When they left their gods there, David gave a command, and they were burned with fire. Listen, I want you to notice something. Immediately, that when David's enemies came against him, what did he do? He went and inquired of God. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say, well, you know what? Let me tell you something about my enemies. He just went and he got on his face and he sought God. He inquired of God. God, what do you want me to do? Now, the thing we got to remember is this. David was probably one of the greatest warriors that's ever lived. He was definitely one of the greatest generals that has ever lived in the world when it came to military strategy, overcoming, being a warrior, being a fighter, leading his people. David had his stuff together, and yet he knew, I don't need physical answers, I need spiritual answers. And so he goes out. He was incredible at understanding battle and battle plans. And so he inquires of God. God says, I want you to go out. I want you to meet them. You go kick their butts. We'll meet back here for dinner. And that's what David does. They go out. They overcome the Philistines. The Philistines get beat up. They go running off. And David comes back. And Israel has this wonderful, wonderful victory. Well, what was David's secret? His secret was he prayed. David sought God. David didn't rely on his natural wisdom. He didn't rely on his training or his teaching. He understood God is in control, and I need to be a person who seeks his face and does what God says to do. You got to think about this. The enemies come against David, and I love this, man. They come against him. He just, first thing it is, where's my sword? No. Gather the armies? No. I'm going to go talk with God, guys. And when I hear from him, I'm going to come back, and you guys be ready. He inquires of God. And the thing is this, when you read through Scripture in the life of Jesus, you see Jesus doing this all the time. Jesus, in Luke 5:16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. The Son of God would sneak away from the crowds and the rush and the busyness and the everybody pulling on him and everybody wanting him and needing him. And Jesus, do this, heal this, touch this, change this. And he would get off and he would just kind of refresh his spirit. And he would say, Father, what do you want me to do? Jesus lived this, and that's where our power comes from. That's where the secret comes through, and that's where God can bring a breakthrough in our life. And I love that he says it's like a breakthrough of water, and it's almost Isaiah talks about this, that it comes like a pent-up flood, and you get this image of there being this dam that has stopped the flow of the river, and then finally the dam gives way because the pressure of the water is so much that it breaks and it just pours out. That's what David is saying is going on here. When I pray and I seek God and God says, this is what I want you to do, it's like the dam breaks and things flow the way God designs them to flow. It's like having a door that is locked that you can't get in, and then all of a sudden it becomes unlocked. And you can get in. Now, a lot of our cars, I don't know if y'all have cars like this. A lot of the cars today, you go out and you got the little key thingy. Y'all remember the old days when you had to unlock doors with keys? That's crazy. I had a friend of mine who had one of the keys with the little unlock button. And one day, she was out and the battery went dead in her unlocker thing. And she called someone and said, my battery's dead. I don't know how to get in the car. I didn't laugh at her much. But cars today, when you come out of your house, and I'll just, it could be anyone, and you come out of your house and you hit the button once, and it unlocks the passenger side, and then you hit the button again, and it unlocks all the rest of the doors. Well, have you ever been going somewhere with someone, perhaps close to you, perhaps someone you love very much, and you hit the button once, and it unlocks your side, but before you can hit the button the second time, they're pulling on the door, all right? And there's something that happens in the brain. I don't know what happens. There's like a surge or what, because once they start pulling the thing, they don't stop. And it's just, it's locked. And it's like, well, you gotta get, and finally it's just back away from the car. Just back away. You know, and say this person you call babe. I don't know what they call their friends. I don't know. So you say, babe, You know I got to hit the button twice, not once my side, and then the other side, your side, and I don't know why this is, you know, whoo, and so then babe says, well, I know how to fix this, and I said, oh really, what? She said, well, she, whoever it is, says, well, you could just come around and get my door for me. So we're going to have to buy a new car. So, amen. So here's the point. God says this. God says, listen, I want to open doors in your life. And I have the keys. And the thing is this, I can close doors that no man can close, and I can open doors that no man can open. And if you will pray, if you will come and inquire of me, I will tell you how to experience breakthrough in your life. So that it happens when we pray, and there's no place in our lives, you've got to understand this, there is no place in our lives that God cannot break through. When you come to a place of decision, when you need to get away with God and seek his face, because when we pray, God can break through anywhere, anything, anytime, and God desires to bless your life. So the first part of the secret is to pray. The second part of the secret is this: obey. You've got to obey. Guys, hearing is not enough. Hearing is, listen to me, there are so many people who you know what, in life, and you've discovered the answer, but you're still at the same level you were because you haven't been obedient to it. We've got to pray, and we have to be people who obey. In 1 Chronicles 14, verses 13 to 16, listen to this. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. All right, David whooped them. They go running off. They lick their wounds, and they said, you know what? We're going to get him this time. So here we go. And they go down into the valley of Rephaim, the valley of giants. That's what the word calls it. And then it says, therefore, look what David did. David inquired again of God. And God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Circle around them. I love this. Come upon them in the front of the mulberry trees. Listen to this. How do you explain this to your men? And it shall be that when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the trees. Like, God, seriously? Then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So God did, or David did, as God commanded, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. So the Philistines, they come out, they attack again, and yet again, David doesn't assume, I know how God did it last time, so he's got to do it the same way this time. He inquires of God again. He says, I'm not going to do this in what I know. I'm going to hear from him. I'm going to pray. And then he's going to be obedient to him. Now, David realizes that he doesn't need natural plans. He needs divine plans. He knows how to do it in the flesh, but he wants to do it in the spirit. So he prays again, and God speaks. And this time, God has a different plan. And I love this. The word tells us, so David did as God commanded, and they won the victory. And you got to hear something. And I don't want you to take me wrong, but listen, if all you ever do is pray, nothing is ever going to change. Is that okay? It really doesn't matter if it is or not, because that's the truth. If all you do is pray, nothing is ever going, you have to pray and obey. Listen, you've got to understand this scenario. I always try to think, what would it have been like? Because I think so often we take scripture stories and stories that we read in the Bible, and we make them seem so much different than probably what they actually were. You know, we just think there's always like glows, and everyone had halos, and you just know this is God's will. You know, and yet, do we ever feel that in our life sometimes? Sometimes, God, I think this is what you're saying, and I'm just going to take a step of faith. And that's what my world looks like. I don't have angels flapping around in the sky, you know. And I'm like, oh, look, it's an angel. You know, I don't know. I'm still trying to get the second door unlocked. You know, I don't know what's going on. So The thing is, you have to imagine, there's the Israelite army, and they're all there, and there's older soldiers and younger soldiers, and these are the people of God. They've just fought the Philistines, and they've just had a successful campaign against them, drove them back, and they said, hey David, listen, the Philistines are coming again. They are right over that hill, David. And David says, I'll be right back. And he goes into his tent, and he begins to inquire of God. He begins to pray again. And you can see some of the younger soldiers look at the older soldiers and go, what is he doing? Well, he's praying. Well, he knows they're coming, right? Yeah, just wait. Just hold on. And after a little while, David comes out and says, okay, guys, here's the plan. We're not going to do what we did last time. And they're thinking, yeah, the last time that worked? He says, so what we're going to do, we're going to circle around them. We're going to get up near the mulberry trees. And when we hear things marching in the tops of the trees, then we're going to attack. And you almost think the young soldier kind of look over at the older one. Has David been hit in the head a lot? And you can almost see David say, hey, is there an issue? Is there a problem? He says, no, sir, there's not a problem. And he says, listen, it is not by might. It's not by power. But it's by his spirit, says the Lord. And that's the truth. And you almost, the older soldier, Dave comes out and says, oh, we're going to hide in the trees till we hear people marching in the trees. And the older, hey, good answer. You remember old Family Feud? Do you remember some of the answers that people would give that were just, they were horrible. But the answer was always, good answer, good answer. You know, hey, it's like you hit the button and you're like, name a cat. And the guy goes, Doberman, you know, and they're like, good answer. Good answer. And you almost say, David, we're going to hide till we hear marching in the trees. And they're all, yeah, good answer, David, good answer. Young guy's like, what? But it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by his spirit. That's what God says. And then they went out and they drove back the army of their enemies and they took the victory. Now listen, I want to say something because, you know, we celebrate what God's doing here. God has used this church and And we've been able to bless people. Oh, by the way, last Sunday in service, I mentioned that there was a family that their car went on the fritz. Just, and that if God laid on anybody's heart to step up and help provide a transmission for them, I wanted you to know people did that, and they got their car back on Saturday night. Isn't that fantastic? And I love that. I love that when the Spirit speaks, people listen and lives are blessed. Because I'm just telling you, I know how God works, and everyone who was a part of that, you're going to be blessed for it, and God's going to bless you in and through it. And so I celebrate those things. But listen, the things that we're able to do as a church for missions and for the community and to reaching out and seeing souls saved and lives grow is not because we're bigger than some or smaller than others. It's not because we have talent and ability and things that's greater than anybody and everybody else. It is by His Spirit. And I can tell you that our board and our elders, when we get together, we seek the face of God, and whatever God says, we try to do it without complicating it. And I'm telling you, God blesses that. He always has. And He always will. We have to be people who pray. So here's the secret, that we have a church been able to do it because we pray and obey. And that is a recipe for breakthrough. Now, when you pray and obey, we need to pray and obey when it comes to our giving. Okay, listen to me. We need to pray and obey when it comes to our giving. I thank God for what He's done, for the economy that we've been through. He's blessed us, and He's been faithful, and we've been able to, like I said, we have missionaries all over the world. We give a lot of money to missions, and I celebrate those things. But can I tell you that we're just probably 30 to 35% of our families tithe? Can you imagine what we could do if every family tithed? Think about it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. It's not about me understanding. I'm just asking you to pray and obey. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's all God wants us to do. And the thing is this, it's not just about our finances. Listen, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, my marriage, I need a breakthrough in my marriage. You know what my answer is going to be? Pray and obey. What are you going to give to your marriage? What are you going to give to your health? What are you going to give to your career? What are you going to give to your family? I mean, what are you going to give? Because giving is always the best way to experience a breakthrough. It always is. It always has been. And all I'm asking you to do is pray and obey, because whatever area in your life that you need a breakthrough in, that is the secret to discovering it, is to seek Him, to seek His face, and then do what God says to do, and you will see God move. See, when God speaks something to you, have faith in it. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, when God speaks and we step into whatever God is saying, then God opens the door and you have a breakthrough. That's when that experience is. Now, I told you that David called the place Baal Perazim, and I wanted to come back to that because I want you to understand the definition and the meaning and why this is such a unique name. Now, a lot of people, when you read the definitions of things, Perazim to them means breakthrough. But that doesn't line up when you read the context of the scripture, okay? Because if that was the truth, then Baal, who was the Philistine god, and when you read this at first, if that's the truth, it sounds like Baal had a breakthrough. And if that's the true definition of the word, then David would have named it Jehovah Perazim. You know, the one true God broke through here, but he didn't. He called it Baal Perazim, and that's what he called it. But when you get down deeper and you see the meaning, the true meaning of the word Perazim, it doesn't mean breakthrough, it means broken through. Perazim means broken through. So here's what David was saying. I want all of my enemies to know that this is where Baal was broken through. I want to announce to the world that this is where your God was defeated and the one true God was established. Because His people prayed and obeyed. That's what it is. And the thing is this, you have to understand the layout of the land. It was in the Valley of Rephaim, which is the Valley of Giants. You ever faced a giant? You ever had something come up against your house? I mean, I'm looking at some of your faces, and some of you, I've prayed with giants that have come up against your house. These things that your life comes up against, your marriage comes up against, your children come up against, and it just seems like this area, God's growing and God's moving, but it's just this one valley, man. It's just this one area that seems no matter what I do and how hard I try and how hard I pray and what I give and how hard I work and I try to be obedient to the best that I can, God, and I'm just doing it. But I run down in that valley and that giant is there and I cannot get past this giant. That's where the battle was. Was in the valley of the giants, the valley of Rephaim. And off the side of the valley of the giants was a mount called Mount Baal. And it was the stronghold place of worship for all of Baal. Baal was centered there. And so the mountain had basically was a temple for Baal. And you know what the Philistines did when they went out to face Israel this time? They brought it all. They fought it in the valley by the mount because the enemy said this is our stronghold. We went out there and fought you and you beat us. But you know what? You're never going to beat us here. We can't lose here. We're in the valley of the giants. We're in the mount of Baal, our God, his temple. Everything that we worship and pray is established here. We are the strongest at this place in this moment. So Israel and God of Israel, bring it on. Scripture says that David gathered up all of their gods and burned them, and he left their gods on the mount of Baal because it was their place of worship. They said, it's our stronghold. This is the place that we can't lose. And here's the word that I have for you. If you remember anything I say today, please remember this. Write this in your Bible. Write this on your piece of paper. If you can't remember it, you email me. I'll shoot it to you. Facebook me, and I'll shoot it to you. But this is what I believe is God's promise to us. To us and to each of us. That if we will pray and obey, the place in your life that the enemy thinks he has the strongest hold is the place where God will give you the breakthrough this year. The place in your life that you think or the enemy says, this is where I got him. Oh yeah, you're strong over there. I don't mess with you over there. Oh, you look just like Jesus in that part of you. I stay away from that. But this valley, this mount, this one's mine. And I'll beat them every single time. I'm telling you, if you will pray and if you will obey, you will see the breakthrough of God in that place in your life this year. It will be Baal Perazim. It will be the place that God has broken through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you know what? My finances have always been the struggle, or this issue in my marriage has always been the struggle. This is my valley of giants. Listen, I'm telling you that there is not a place where our God cannot break through when we will pray and when we will obey. In every area of giving, whatever we have to give ourselves to, our life is not our own. That's our theme this year. Where do I need to give my life away? Pray and obey, but not just there, but in every area of your life, pray and obey. Pray, spend time in prayer, and whatever God says, do it and watch God break through. That is the promise of God. Amen.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.